Good morning. How's everybody today? Okay, that's a good thing. I have a corny saying that says, doing good is so much better than doing bad. But it's true. Before I get started, though, I would like to take this opportunity to thank all of the church family and saints who extended condolences to my wife and I through cards, phone calls, gifts, etc., even traveling down to Florida to attend the funeral with us. It was a blessing that I cannot tell you how good it was to see the support of the saints. You know, it's always different until you get there, you know, and then when you have to go through it, it's just a good thing to have a strong, loyal church family. So God bless you. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4? I have to tell you very honestly, this passage was read as a passage that our brother Wilson spoke on about 5 or 6 weeks ago. And it got me thinking and took me in another direction from where he was going. But it was this passage that inspired me, and I'll tell you how we kind of got there. And we're going to read from verses 3 through 7. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that it is a living, vibrant, ever-teaching, ever-comforting word. It is a word that we cannot exhaust, and that we can continually delve into your word to get increased knowledge of you, of your son, and of how we should be living in this world. So we praise you, and we ask that you would just lead us as we study the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, a couple of things, and we're really going to concentrate on verse 7. It says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, a couple of interesting things about this. First of all, this is the first time that the word sin is mentioned in the scriptures. It is not the first sin, but it's the first time that it's mentioned in the scripture. We all know the original sin. And the second thing is that that word that says lieth at the door is kind of like more not relaxing by the door. It's more like waiting to pounce at the door. So I started thinking about this, you know, because I'm a very visual person, you know, and I'm thinking about whatever sin might look like, you know, lying by the door. And I got interested in sin. Not that kind of thing, but I got interested in sin. So I started to do some research. Okay, you know, thinking about things. Now, the interesting thing about the word sin is that there are two different words. There's the Hebrew word for sin, and there's the Greek word for sin. Now, the Hebrew word for sin is chatta, C-H-A-T-T-A. And the root word of that word, if you go back, and this is how I wiggle through my things, the root word of sin means to miss the mark. To miss the mark. So when I went to the Greek and took a look at it, the Greek word hamartano, and the root word of the Greek word happens to be to miss the mark. So it's very interesting that in Greek, in the Hebrew, and in Greek, the root word of sin is to miss the mark. There are other words, both in Greek and Hebrew, that mean such things as sin, or an offense, or a fault, or a crime, or those kinds of things. But for this particular message, we're going to exercise the concept, and we're talking about sin, of about missing the mark. So if we were to read verse 7 over again, it would say, if thou doest well, shalt not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, the opportunity to miss the mark is waiting for you by the door. Make sense? Let's have some fun. For all have missed the mark and come short of the glory of God. The disciples asked Jesus, Jesus, who missed the mark? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? The wages earned by missing the mark is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. If we say, and this is John, this is all scripture, John 1 and verse 8, if we say we have not missed the mark, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our misses to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our misses and to cleanse us unto righteousness. If we say we have not missed the mark, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And we can go on and on with this, because you can literally take sin out of any verse and put in, miss the mark. Interesting thought, just, you know. But the question that comes up when we start doing that is in interchanging miss the mark for sin, the first question that should come up is, what's the mark? What's the mark? In other words, if you picture missing the mark, obviously if you're going through the activity of missing a mark, you're aiming at something. You're shooting at something. You're heading towards something. And what is that something that you're aiming towards that we so often miss the mark? Because as we have read, if we say we have not missed the mark, we're calling him a liar. And the truth is not, we missed the mark. So what's the mark? The mark is God. The mark is Jesus. God and Jesus in their perfection, in their holiness, in their purity, in their sinlessness is the mark. That's a mark, and we were going to start talking about it, that we should be aiming for. Now, I have to tell you from the start, you're going to miss. We're going to miss. But we can do better. We can have less misses. We can have less opportunity to miss if we are doing and following the right thing. It's a lofty endeavor that we should be seeking to be just like Christ. But God tells us in Leviticus, be you holy as I am holy. In John 3 and 5, we are told, in 1 John 3 and 5, we're told, in Jesus, there is no sin. We need to try to be like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and 2, he who knew no sin. We need to try and aim to be like Jesus. 2 Peter 2 and 21 says, leaving us an example that we should follow his footstep, who did no sin. So, just a little recap before we continue on. Sin, or committing a sin, is equivalent or can be equated to missing the mark. The mark being the perfect life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the holiness of our God, of God the Father. We should aim to be like him. We should want to be like him. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, it says, be followers of me, this is Paul talking to the Corinthians, even as I also follow Christ. You want to be like Christ. In Ephesians 5, be therefore of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has loved us. In 2 Peter 2 and 21, it reads, for here you are called because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. He who did no sin, neither was there any guile found in his mouth. We should have a target and we should have a goal to be more like Christ. Now, I think we understand that. I think if you've been attending this church, you have heard the messages after message after employing us to be more like Christ. It is part of the sanctification process. It's as we go through our lives as Christians, we start off as baby Christians, missing marks all over the place. And as we move up and become adolescents, we should miss less marks as Christians. And as we become mature adult Christians, the marks, the misses should be fewer and far between. And as we age out and go into our promotion, those hopefully would be less and less. That's how it's supposed to work, because sanctification is making us more like Christ. Therefore, our mark and our goal should be to live as sinless as possible. We should strive to have that target. Now, a couple of things we want to say about that. Because it's easier said than done. And we all know that. Because we are constantly having to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness. Okay? And I'm not going to give a test. I'm not going to ask you when was the last time you went to the Lord Jesus Christ to ask him for forgiveness. But we do, because we miss the mark. But do we get up in the morning and say to ourselves, I'm not going to miss the mark today? Do you say that? That's a good goal, right? If you get up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm not going to miss the mark today. I'm going to be on my P's and Q's. And I'm going to step out and I'm going to do my best not to sin, not to miss the mark. I'm going to do everything I can to be just like Jesus. That's a good goal. The problem is, there's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they're waiting for you outside the door. And it's easy, and as I said, the world, and the Bible talks about the world, that we wrestle not against principalities and powers, but against rulers and wickedness. And the world is not designed to have you hit the mark. The world is designed to make you miss the mark. The flesh, if you look at Galatians 5 and 19 to 21, talks about all the examples of the things that the flesh will lead us into. You know, all those thoughts, all those selfishness, the putting ourselves before others, seeking to gratify ourselves rather than live for Christ. Those things are realities that we face every day. The devil is out there. He's out there. First Peter, chapter 5. The devil is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you've been coming regularly, you should be hearing a message that you've been hearing for the last, I don't know what Brother Norman spoke on last week. I'm sorry, Norman, I missed it. I wasn't here. But when Omar spoke on Youth Sunday, he talked about a way of not missing the mark. He said, be careful who's carving on you. He said, who's chiseling on you? What are the effects of the world having on you? Omar, God bless you. Brother Vic, the following Sunday, spoke about seeking the joy of the Lord. And he talked about the fact that as you seek the joy of the Lord, you have to avoid those distractions of the world, of all those things that are out there. It is not hard, it's not easy to hit the mark. It is easy to miss the mark. But that should not by any means discourage us from making the attempt. The Holy Spirit, you're a Christian? The Holy Spirit dwells within you. And one of the main functions of the Holy Spirit is to make sure that you hit the mark. Amen. Amen. Do you listen to the Holy Spirit? Are you in connection with the Holy Spirit? Do you have any kind of fellowship with Him? If you do, then it becomes easier to hit the mark. But if you're out there on your own, you might not hit it. So, I'm going to talk about some things that could help us with our aim. The Word, Spirit of God. Anybody ever shoot a rifle? Ever shoot a rifle? If you shoot a rifle, there is something at the very tip of the barrel, and it kind of sticks up a little bit. And the purpose of that is to help you aim. You look at that tip, and you can kind of bring it around. This is the tip of our rifle. But if you don't use it, it's of no value to you. You cannot be successful at hitting the mark if you're not reading the Word of God. I've been on this platform countless times, and I've said this, and Brother Wilson has been on the platform, and Brother Waters and Brother Victor and Brother Grantley and Brother Lloyd and Brother Richard, Brother Lawrence, we've been begging with our saints here to read the Word of God. That's not something that we're doing for as an exercise. It is an absolute necessity for success in the Christian life. You have to read the Word of God. And not only read it, you have to study it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not miss the mark. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not miss the mark. John 2:1 says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you do not miss the mark. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He is saying to you, I am writing these things to you that you do not miss the mark, that you do not sin. And if any man miss the mark, if by chance you should miss the mark, praise the Lord. We have an advocate with the Father who covers all of our misses. But as Romans says, should we miss the mark more so that grace should abound? Absolutely not. Our endeavor, our focus, our aim, daily, hourly, as my brother said, secondly, we should be to hit the mark. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You ever try shooting something and hitting it while you're in the dark? Very difficult. You need some light. You need some light. The word of God. Secondly, as I mentioned it before, there is the Spirit of God. Our comforter, our helper, our educator, our guide. Now, I have to tell you that it took me, I had a birthday last week. I'm not ashamed. I turned 76 last week. But I gotta tell you, I spent a good more than half of those 76 years paying absolutely no attention to the Holy Spirit. And I suffered for it. I made mistake after mistake after mistake because I wasn't attuned to the Spirit of God. And when I finally made that connection and started really trying to have a relationship with the Spirit of God, something that lives within every Christian, it is amazing. It is amazing how he will lead you and teach you and direct you. But you have to make yourself available to the Spirit. Available to the Spirit. And then you have to have a prayer life. You have to have a prayer life. Because your prayer life is your conversation with your Lord and Savior. And the God, you have that conversation. And when, you know how you have a conversation? You know, I do some marriage counseling. Just a taste. But one of the things that any counselor, any good counselor will tell you is that the key to any relationship is communication. You have to be able to talk to one another. You have to be able to talk to God and say, Lord, look at me. And be honest. The beautiful thing about that you have no choice but to be honest with God because you can't fool him. There's no lying to God. There's no covering, putting something under the table. When you're in your prayer room, with God and you're praying, there is no hiding from him. He can see right through every deception that you might want to throw up in front of him. And therefore, you can be honest with him. And then he can be honest with you in helping you deal with whatever situation you're dealing with. You have to have a prayer life. Study the word. Did you hear it? Listen to the Spirit of God and pray. And pray. So I'm about to end up before I start talk for another 10 minutes. I'm about to end up with, let's be serious about making a concerted effort with the help of the Holy Spirit not to miss the mark. Can we work on our aim this week? Okay? Now, I have to tell you honestly, the last 25 minutes, I've been talking to people who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it's interesting to think that we, with all of our benefits, the Word, the Holy Spirit, the ability to pray to God and have him answer, that we still miss the mark. But think about those who do not have Jesus in their life. If you're here in this room, listening on the radio, listening through Zoom, and you don't have Jesus in your life, you are missing the mark. Big time. Your aim is not even aimed at the mark. You're aiming for things that have no value in terms of eternity. You're shooting in the dark. You want to be rich. That'll be good until you die. You want to be famous. That'll be good until you die. You want to be well educated. That'll be good until you die. You want to have a great relationship and have a wonderful partner. That'll be excellent. I wish that for you, but it's only going to last until you die. Folks, if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a hole in your life. You are missing the mark, and you know it if you are honest with yourself. If you get in the closet and have a conversation with God, you're going to say to God, God, I'm missing it. I'm looking, because you can't be happy. You can't be happy without the Lord Jesus Christ. You may find happiness in a moment, or what you think is happiness. You may think that getting high is great, and it's great, but it don't last. You know why? Because you have to go back again. You have to go back again. You may have pleasure in getting into your new shiny car and driving down the street, but in your heart of hearts, you know that's not making you happy. You need Jesus in your life. So I'm going to say to you, come to Jesus this morning. There is absolutely no reason not to. God has given us an absolutely foolproof plan to get to heaven. It's foolproof, and not only is it foolproof, it is easy. It is unbelievably easy. All you have to do is, number one, recognize that you need help to get to heaven, because we are all sinners. We all miss the mark. We just finished talking about that. So God cannot have people who miss the mark in his heaven. Not allowed. So God said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my son, my beloved son, who came to this earth and never missed the mark, and he's going to give his life He's going to die. If you were here this morning, he died and he rose again to cover up everybody's misses. A miss over here, a miss over there, a miss next week. If the Lord don't come, a miss next year. He covers all the misses. And all you have to do is say, I believe it and I accept Jesus as my Savior. I want him in my life. That's all it takes. It doesn't require church membership. It doesn't require giving to the church. It doesn't require coming to Good Tidings. It requires you establishing a relationship with Jesus Christ as, Lord, I need a Savior, come into my heart. Now, if that's what you want, please don't walk out of this room without seeing someone. Talk to me. Talk to anybody you saw up at the mic, up at the platform this morning. We will be more than happy to sit down and give you the time to show you from the Word of God how you can have Jesus in your life and you can walk out of here with a better chance of hitting the mark than when you came in. Thank you for your attention. Let us pray. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the love that you have shown us. We want to thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for your salvation plan, where anyone who chooses not to go to hell any longer, but to go to heaven, can simply make that decision that to accepting Jesus into their life, they can become a child of God, an heir, a joint heir with Christ, and they can join with us in our journey to heaven. Blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, you know the heart and mind of each and every one of us. For those of us who are your children and we've been missing the mark, we ask for your help in allowing us to do better, to live stronger for you, to study your word more, to pray more, to communicate with the Holy Spirit more. And most of all, dear Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know you as Savior, we would pray that your Holy Spirit would strive with them, that your Holy Spirit would give them absolutely no rest, no comfort, until they come to know you as Savior. We thank you for you're such a good God. You're such a great God. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen.